more story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could talk of all the blessings I'd been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I'd watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful, something incredible, there's something wonderful about the cross.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. It is bittersweet remembering the cross, the bitterness that he had to taste death, but the sweetness that I don't have to. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, if you'll go in your Bibles, Matthew 27. When you find your place there, if you would stand with me, we'll look at the cross in this passage of Scripture. Matthew 27, verse 26 is where we'll begin reading. We'll read down to verse 37. If you'd read it with me, I'll have you read 26. I'll have you start off reading, and then I'll take the next verse, 27. Then you read 28, and we'll do that all the way down to verse 37. So I'll have you begin, and I'll pick up in verse 27. So let's read this together. Matthew 27, verse 26. Ready, begin. Then released
Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers.
And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe.
And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull,
they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink.
And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word, for the singing. Lord, I thank you for the cross and what it means in our lives, how it gives us new life. I ask that you would help us now to understand your word as it's preached, that we would make decisions based on what you do in our hearts. Move us, Father. Speak to our hearts. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Give him wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. You keep your Bibles open as we look at the Word of God this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, let's just make this day about Jesus, right? As the day began with the service, as we sang about the Lord, as the choir sang, as we had the Lord's Supper, as the special was sung, let's talk about Jesus today. Can you picture Jesus on the cross? I've imagined it many times to think about what the day looked like, what the location was like, what Jesus looked like hanging on the cross with the thieves on either side of him as many passed by that day. And you get much of the account from the Word of God about that day of the crucifixion, but to see it face to face, we're going to look at a bit of a different view this morning. But I want to take you first, as it says here through this passage as we read it, speaking of the soldiers. It says in verse number 35, when they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and with my vesture did they cast lots." And then look at verse number 36, and it says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." The soldiers that began in verse number 27, the soldiers took him to the governor, and it continues on referencing them throughout these verses. And these Roman soldiers, as they led him to Golgotha, and they sat him there, and they set up over his head the accusation, "This is the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews." And they sat down and watched. Could you imagine the sight that day? There's a number of people passing by that day, and they sat there just to watch the crucifixion. Not because they believed, but to mock, to watch him die. You think of public spectacles, maybe of someone going to give a speech, and sometimes crowds will come to gather. It's not as much of a big gathering today with the introduction of internet and television, radio, things like that. But there was a day where someone would speak and multitudes would come to gather to listen to this speech that day, or would read a speech that was given. Maybe today it'd be more of an event that someone would come to watch someone perform in some manner, and crowds would gather to watch someone. But can you imagine watching Jesus? It wasn't a beautiful sight. It wasn't a place that was a pretty picture, if you will, because of the beating that happened of Jesus nailed on the cross, and as you picture him there. But as I thought about that verse, that as they sat watching him there, I think of Jesus watching the crowds. You think about that? What Jesus saw on the cross. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. He knew no sin, but he was God who became flesh to die to pay for our sins. He went through suffering. He went through agony. He went through the suffering of death that you and I would go through, but he went through that for us. He gave his life to be the payment for our sin, and as he looked out on mankind, he looked at those that crucified him. The Bible says in John chapter 12, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And he said this signifying what death he should die. Many times Jesus would prophesy his death of his crucifixion. He would prophesy that he would be crucified and then 3 days would rise again, and was doubted many times over and questioned, even threatened because of his announcement that he would give. Look at Jesus on the cross today. Picture our Savior that day that went through the suffering for us. But as the Jews, as the time came where Jesus was going to be crucified and they were going to release one, he was either going to be a Barabbas or Jesus, and he said, "I see no fault in him." There's no fault in the Savior, and guess what? There is no fault in the Savior. He's perfect. He's sinless, the Son of God. And he said, I see this just person. And in verse number 25, he said, why do you want me to crucify Jesus and not release him? And you want me to release Barabbas? And in verse 25, and then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. His blood is upon our hands. Our sin is what nailed the Savior to the cross that day. We could look at others and blame them for being the ones that went through the tortures and the crucifixion and the judgment halls and all that, the ones that nailed him to the cross, and said, you're the one that crucified him. But it was really us. His blood is upon us, upon our hands, upon our children, because we are sinners. He went through all of that for you and for me. But as I think of Jesus on the cross, and I picture the soldiers just sitting down and watching him, just casually taking their day to watch another crucifixion. There was many crucifixions that would happen. It was a public spectacle for everyone to see. It was an example. It was a humiliation. It was an example for others. If you do what they did, you're going to be nailed up here someday as well. They wanted to publicly crucify the Savior. But guess what? He was publicly crucified so that there would be no doubt that Jesus Christ would die. He would give his life to be the payment for our sins. He would go to the tomb, and the stone would be rolled and the soldiers placed in front, but nothing could hold our Savior down. He would come to pay for our sins. I think of Jesus on the cross as he looked around and saw the multitudes of people there that day. I'd like to take some time to look through the eyes of Jesus today of who and then what he saw on the cross. As you saw this, first of all, we already read the verses of the soldiers that sat there, the ones that went through the crucifixion with Jesus, that persecuted Jesus, that had a part in nailing him to the cross and putting the sign over there, this is the King of the Jews, and sat there really as a mockery. And first of all, we see the persecutors. We see the ones that they had no belief in Jesus Christ. They had no belief that this was the Son of God. At this moment, at this time, they would not believe in Jesus. And they persecuted the Savior. Could you imagine? You're the one that beat the Savior. Could you imagine being the one that nailed his hands and his feet? Could you imagine being the one that shoved the crown of thorns on his face? The one that would punch him in the face, that would spit upon him, that would mock the Savior? That's who this crowd was that day. The persecutors. And it's true today as it was at any time that there are still those that would persecute the Savior, that they are against anything that Jesus and the Bible stands for today. But as I look at the Savior, that's my Savior. They went through to persecute him, and they thought that they were doing some kind of good, that they were crucifying someone that deserved it, but they were crucifying an innocent person that day. They were fulfilling part of God's plan. We see the persecutors, but next we see the thieves next to Jesus Christ. You see them in a number of passages. And I want to read the verses from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 39. You can turn there if you'd like, and I'll read them. It says, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him. He's being crucified next to the Savior, and he rails on Jesus, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. If you're really the Savior. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Even in the last moments of Jesus' life, and even those being crucified next to him, of anyone that should understand the suffering he was going through, you'd think, let's get through this together. And they looked and they railed on him in another passage together, and then one turned to him here at this time and rebuked the other, and he said, we've done wrong. We're in the same condemnation. And he said, Lord, remember me. Can you picture the Savior as he was being crucified and seeing a thief on one side and one on the other side, and and they railed on him, and then one turned to him and said, Lord, remember me, and the other rejected Jesus all the way to his death. As Jesus looked out, he saw those that were persecuting him, and he looked at others that were railing on him, and then one that trusted in him to be his Savior, the last moments of his life. Look at verse number 30, Matthew 27, if you turned over, could go back if you would please to Matthew 27, verse number 39. We see those that persecuted the Savior, the soldiers. We see the thieves that were there by him. And then we see in verse 39, it says, and they that passed by, people that were just passing by, it says they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. People just walking by, people that were just going about their day, just seemed to pass by, and they stopped to take the time to revile the Savior, to criticize in an angry manner, wagging their heads, just the mockery. If you're really the Christ, why don't you get yourself down? We see the persecutors, we see the soldiers there, we see the lost, the thieves there next to him, we see those that passed by. And then we see the religious crowd in verse number 41. Likewise also the chief priests, all taking their turns, mocking him, with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. And he said, I am the Son of God. Now the religious crowd pipes up, and it says here the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and they knew what Jesus said, but they didn't believe. They mocked him. They tried to use Jesus' own words against him, not knowing that he would fulfill his prophecy, that he would be buried and rise again in 3 days. And you see the religious crowd in John chapter 19. You see another passage here of the followers of Jesus, just a few that followed him. From Matthew 26, it says, all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. When Jesus was taken from the garden, all the disciples left. They left his side. The ones that heard his teaching and saw his miracles that stayed by him, they fled. They fled when Jesus was captured, when he was taken. They all fled. But at the cross, there was a few. In John 19, verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He had everyone mocking him, ridiculing and reviling him, people passing by, sitting there, nailed to the cross next to him. But then there was a few that he looked out. I could imagine there was some comfort. I can imagine there was a thought of there was a few that stayed. And it was Jesus' mother. That sounds like a mother, right? That she'd be there. And then Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. A few sitting there, and in Jesus' last moments, he looked and said, woman, behold thy mother. And he told him, woman, behold thy son, and behold thy mother. And he told them to take care of them. He had a few followers there. We see all the people that Jesus saw on the cross. What do we see from this? First, what Jesus saw at the cross is this. He saw the effects of sin. He saw the effects of sin that Jesus, that God saw before time began, in the beginning of Genesis when he created Adam and Eve, and he created two perfect people in a perfect garden, gave them one rule, and he said, the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Ye shall surely die. He warned them of the sin and the punishment of sin that would come on mankind. And Jesus' prophecy came true. And he would one day become that payment for our sin, and the day had now come. And as he was nailed on the cross, you could imagine Jesus looking around and said, I saw this day coming. I saw the effects of sin. I saw where sin was going to take mankind, and I saw where sin was going to be required of me to be the payment for man. You see the effects of sin today. But then also, Jesus saw the Father's plan fulfilled. He saw the Father's plan fulfilled. Remember Jesus in the garden. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He said, let this cup pass from me. He knew it was the Father's will and the Father's plan for him to go to the cross. 3 hours of darkness that came upon the cross, the time when Jesus was crucified. This was the Father's plan. You realize Jesus on the cross was necessary for the payment for our salvation. And as Jesus looked around, he thought this is what God had planned. But why was that God's plan? Because he saw that this was the only way of salvation. It was the only way of salvation. There was no other way, no other person, no other hope for salvation but through Jesus Christ. Then there still is no other way. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him, the Bible says. He saw that this was the only way of salvation. There was no other way. He saw this was the effects of sin, that people had turned their back on him, crucifying, spitting, mocking, beating, all that man was doing because why? They rejected the Savior. They rejected the Savior. That's where sin will take you in your life, the effects of sin. With sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, the Bible says. That's the effects of sin. He saw the Father's plan fulfilled. He saw there was a way of salvation. But also we see this. He saw those that would be in heaven with him someday. When Jesus looked around, and I'm sure it looked pretty bleak, it looked pretty dark, Jesus knowing all things, he still went through the cross for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. We receive it by grace through faith alone. He's the author, the beginner, the finisher of our faith. He finishes it all. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I imagine Jesus there looking out from the cross. Although it didn't maybe look very promising in man's eyes of how things were looking, he looked out, and for the joy that was set before him, he saw you, and he saw me. And he thought, if I don't go through this for the Father's plan to be the salvation for all mankind, they'll have no hope. And he went through that for you and me, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. It wasn't an easy suffering. There was those that rejected him then, and there's those that reject him now. There was those that mocked Jesus then, and there's the mock him now. And as it was then and now, there's a few disciples that gathered there that day at the foot of the cross, and they stayed faithful through the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it's still the same today, that there's many times a few that follow the Lord. A few that believe. The other disciples, they would come back other than Judas that betrayed the Savior. Jesus, what he saw that day was really, in conclusion, these two things. He saw the lost and he saw the saved. There's only two categories, the lost and the saved. Those that are going to hell someday and those that are going to heaven. And that's why he went through the cross. They went there to watch a spectacle. They went there to watch an event, but Jesus came to give his life. And he came and he saw you. And as Jesus was on the cross, those famous, powerful words that he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did not know what they were doing at the time, but there came a time where they said, this truly is the Son of God. Some of those repented at that time with the thief, with some of the soldiers that stood by, some that came to the empty tomb, and they saw that Jesus truly was and is the Son of God. There's still two categories today that Jesus looks and he sees today, those that are lost and those that are saved. Those on their way to hell and those that are on their way to heaven. And the only hope of heaven is through the Savior, through Jesus Christ, the only way. You see what Jesus saw from the cross? He saw you and he saw me. Aren't you thankful for so great salvation today? If you don't know that salvation and that Savior today, he's looking for you. He's watching you right now. God is pleading and working on your heart to trust in him, and he sees you with head bowed and eyes closed. Today, as we begin the invitation time, God, thank you for the cross. There's something beautiful about the cross. Not a beautiful sight, not a beautiful picture, but what a beautiful Savior. We're undeserving, but thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, today, as you look through this room, you know the souls of man. We don't see that. If there's one that doesn't know you as their Savior, would they trust in you alone? Maybe there's some here today that truly have rejected the Savior. Would you come to know him today? Maybe you're one that's followed him, but you've fled. You've ran away. Would you come back to the Lord today? Maybe you stayed faithful to the Lord no matter what. You stayed faithful to the Savior, to the cross. Would you continue faithful to serve the Lord? With head bowed and eyes closed, the invitation time is a time to respond to what God spoke to your heart about. If you don't know you're saved, would you trust in him today? We'll have Brother James standing in front of the pulpit, and we could show you in a few moments from the Word of God how you can truly know the Savior. Not just believing that there is a God, but believing and asking him to come into your heart. Maybe you've